Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, what are you doing? How are you doing?
I've still been banished from my cabin because the electricity isn't working. It turns out it wasn't my fault. It wasn't me drilling into the walls trying
it's
to soundproof
fault.
My little studio. So look, I'm just saying, Chris, have a crack. Drill into your walls in your studio. What I like about the size of your studio is so kind of hefty. So what part of the studio are you sat in now? Because like this one looks quite big, or is this just one corner of it?
I'm sitting in Happy Town Square, I like to call it. My studio is so big, it's like Disneyland, Pete. I've got Happy Town Square. I've got fucking fun sofa quarter.
Fucking fun sofa quarter. You want to stick with that, do you? Sounds like you're filming something very different. Oh, green screen land, lovely.
Green screen over there, yeah.
You've just seen a lot of bottles of Calpis, a lot of sake over there, Chris. Is everything all right at all, mate?
It's for a video, Pete.
It's for a video. I'm a content creator. It's for a video. That's why I removed my leg, because I drank too much. It's for a video.
I'm just enjoying sitting here in my fully powered studio with all the electricity I can get.
Oh, shut up.
While your studio sits in darkness.
It's a different Hertz system. A lot of people on Twitter were very concerned that I'd bought a rice cooker from Japan and I'd forgotten that it's a different power system over there. I mean, to be fair, I think isn't half the country on 50 Hertz and the other half is on 60 Hertz. I think that's the case, and they all kind of run on different systems.
I'm not entirely sure where the delineating line is. I think it's around Tokyo. Tokyo.
Right, yeah.
And the east is on 1 Hertz, and then sort of the west in Osaka is on the other. hurts.
Do you run into problems taking stuff kind of south of us?
I have done. Yeah. Mm. So when you film with a camera, you have to change the shutter speed and the frame rate a little bit. Otherwise, you get camera flicker sometimes. So if you're coming to Japan, guys, filming, bear that in mind, because there's nothing worse than having flicker in your images. But it's a very strange thing. I'm not entirely sure why that is.
I think it was because when Japan was electrifying everything, they bought some of their stuff from the US and some of their stuff from Europe. I want to say it's that. It's basically they got it from two different places. So the north of the country chose one particular system and the other one. But it's a bit of a mess. less of an issue now, because I think a lot of the innards of a lot of electronics can deal with both, because they get taken all around the world. But my rice cooker was an export-only Japanese product, so it was already absolutely fine. I've only ever fallen foul of the whole step-down transformer business before. It was when I bought an Xbox in America, an Xbox One, some 10 years ago, and then brought it home, completely forgot that I'd need a step down or a step up or whatever the hell it was, and everything went bang.
Oh, no.
Luckily, it only fried the power supply.
Have you used your beloved rice cooker yet?
I have, yeah. It's bubbling away now. It's warming some. It's just so good. Like, cup of rice, you got this little measuring thing, fill it with rice, chuck it in there. And then it's got, if it's one cup, there's a little mark on the bowl for how much water you put in for one cup, two cup, three cup, etc. Sorry if you said one cup. I know that probably makes you very excited because you're a sake enthusiast now. got issues. It cooks it. I mean, once it's cooked, finished cooking, it just keeps it warm for like 12 hours. So I just have rice all day. Big rice boy.
I think you should start a YouTube channel or just a brand called Rice to See You. And it's Pete Donaldson cooking various forms of rice in his bedroom, in his studio that's got no electricity because he drilled a hole through the wall. I'd be great. Rice to See You with Pete Donaldson.
I think that guy who, that Malaysian/American chap, I think, I had a meeting with him once, nice chap. He plays a character called Uncle Ken or something, I think, Uncle something, and he plays like this kind of like a uncle with a very heavy Chinese accent, and he reviews people cooking Asian food, and he just absolutely rails on people like Gordon Ramsay, people like Jamie Oliver, saying you're cooking it wrong. Where's the MSG?
Uncle Roger.
Uncle Roger, that's the guy.
Uncle Roger.
I think his podcast, it might be called Rice to See You. I think it might be that. Either way.
And there was me thinking I was clever and original, and I'd probably just seen it and stolen it. It's the story of the Abroad Japan channel, isn't it? Ideas stolen the world over and repurposed and presented by a sarcastic British twat in a room. We've got a story this week by Axel. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm Axel from Sweden. Here's a semi-dark story from back in 2010 when I lived in Gifu while studying at a language school. I love Gifu. Gifu's one of the most mountainous prefectures in Japan. We went there on a journey across Japan too. It's where cities like Takayama can be found. Axel continues, I went to Nagoya for nights out, where we frequented a small bar called Misfits. Since Misfits had a very generous nomi hordai, or you can drink, where 3 hours of stiff drinks only set us back 1,000 yen, about $10. Mm. Very reasonable. Axel, very reasonable indeed. After a quite indulgent night at Misfits, I was going to sleep at a friend's place. However, due to our alcohol-induced confusion, we ended up losing sight of each other in the night. I knew what part of town my friend lived in, but had never visited his home. This, of course, posed a bit of a problem. I was optimistic and took a taxi to the general neighborhood that he lived in. Upon arriving, I tried calling my friend until I finally accepted my fate of being stranded in a strange part of Nagoya for the next 4 to 5 hours on a cold November night until the trains back to Gifu started running again. I started the rest of the night with finding a konbini where I could buy some onigiri rice balls to sober up a bit. Upon exiting the store, I ran into a Japanese girl who asked if I knew any other convenience stores in the area, since she couldn't refill her prepaid phone SIM card. Already red flags here. Nobody, a Japanese girl's never come up to me in 9 years. So that's always a red flag. I directed the girl to a Lawson, that I'd seen earlier and started walking the streets in search of a capsule hotel or something of the sort. On the way there, I met the same girl again, who asked what a strange, bearded, long-haired Scandinavian was doing in a very much unlively part of town. At that hour, I explained the situation to the best of my abilities. The girl was perplexed, but also seemed sympathetic to my conundrum and invited me to her house. Now, red flags are getting even redder. My risk assessment abilities being quite impaired by alcohol, I accepted. After walking for a while through some back streets, we came to her apartment and she invited me in. As I entered, I realised that the place was very empty, except for a large television, a kotatsu table, like a heated table that you can sit under, a cupboard for futons, and her French bulldog. Bloody hell. The first hour or so, we spent talking and watching anime, while she drank beer and I drank water and ate my onigiri rice balls. Except for her being very vague about what her job was, she just said that she worked in business. She was nice enough. After an hour or so, she pulled out two futons and placed them a meter or two apart. We both fell asleep, me with the bulldog snoozing next to my head. The morning after, I woke up quite early and I felt that I had to leave. I thanked her for the hospitality. I grabbed my last onigiri rice ball from the fridge. No longer being drunk, I realised that her fridge was empty except for a small pack of umeboshi plums, sour plums. I also realised that the bulldog seemed way too thin and had a litter box that it was not very good at using. I left once again, thanking her, but also feeling sad over what I just witnessed. Anyway, thanks for the podcast, guys, and easing my Japan withdrawal during the pandemic. All the best. Axel. That's a weird story.
That is a weird story. What the hell is going on there, Chris?
There's a bit missing. What's going on?
So you go to the house, you sleep at the house, and then you wake up, and then you feel bad because she's not got much in her fridge. Would it be fair to say, though, that Japanese people who live in small apartments don't, they possibly eat out a lot and eat food that they bring in every single evening, so they don't necessarily store a lot of fridge stuff, you know what I mean? Because I eat quite well, certainly when I lived alone, I ate quite well, and I never had anything in my fridge apart from a bottle of Campari and maybe some butter. It's a good night in, tell you what. but I think maybe that's not necessarily an issue, but yeah, a strange story.
I mean, if I was the girl and I invited you back to my house, you'd be like sleeping in a pile of socks and crisp packets. Yeah, I would just move the crisp packets, move the crisps and the socks, and just use the socks as a pillow. And I mean, I'm guessing, because it started off, didn't it? Axel was like, here's a semi-dark story. I don't know if there's anything dark about it, you know. Yeah. I think she was probably, maybe she just moved into the house. Maybe... Yeah. She was a little bit of an odd character to invite like a Scandinavian man back to her house just randomly.
It's a bit odd. Inviting anyone back to your house. But look, good on her, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
It's a semi-dark story. The way Axel described it, he referred to himself as a strange, bearded, long-haired Scandinavian. you know, maybe she thought, it could be fun. I mean, Axel, talk about Sweden.
I don't know, from Sweden.
She probably told the story to her friends. Oh, some guy helped me find a phone place to get a phone SIM card, and I invited him back, and he put all his onigiri in the fridge and played with my dog. Somewhere out there, there's a Japanese girl with a great story that equals Axel's, but we get it from a completely different perspective.
There's a gigantic man in my house. Love it.
I'd love to hear her. If she's listening, which she's not, I'd like to hear her side of the story. This week in the news, people of Kansai is like Osaka and Kyoto and that sort of area, Kobe. Turns out people in Kansai are more genetically predisposed to liking coffee than anywhere else in Japan. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Apparently
there's a gene. There's a gene called ALDH2, which controls the enzymes used in alcoholic metabolism. This is the same gene that results in redness that appears on the faces of many East Asians who partake of alcohol, but it's now believed to be related to a number of traits, from alcohol dependence to quality of sleep. For example, according to Tokyo-based genome data analysis, the RS671 genotype as a relation to the amount of coffee someone likes to consume on a daily basis. Apparently, they used data of 20,000 people from all over Japan and found which prefectures have the most and least number of genetically predisposed coffee lovers. And they did a map, and the number one place was it was the Kansai region. It was a stronger concentration of people in the West who liked coffee and loved coffee, which is interesting because I feel like when you think of coffee, you often think of Tokyo. There's a real coffee craze in Tokyo at the moment. But I mean, it's really interesting learning about all these different genes and things and coffee. I mean, what do you make of it all, Pete?
I presume this funding, this whole research was funded by Boss Coffee or something, so they know spend all of their marketing dollars. No point in using any of their dollars in Kagawa or Saga, but Wakayama, you'd put all your eggs in that particular marketing basket, wouldn't you? Because everybody loves coffee there. They're genetically predisposed to do so.
I mean, apparently the place is less susceptible to the aroma of freshly brewed coffee, Okinawa and Hokkaido. So the most north, the most south of Japan are not big on coffee. So
the crab,
make of that
the,
what you will.
This is where the crabs come from. Does Okinawa have good crabs? Hokkaido have massive bloody crabs, don't they? Huge
Hokkaido
things.
Hokkaido does
huge
have crabs.
They're big crab guys. They're crab soup guys. That's what they're into. They like the smell of that. Oh, Chris! Did you speaking of news? Did you see that?
Speaking of crabs,
Japan. Speaking of crabs, did you see that Japan? I think are making some changes. It's called opening up the country because obviously it's very hard for people to get into Japan
really?
At the moment. They're opening up the country, Chris. They've reduced the amount of time you've got to stay in isolation from 14 days to 10 days, and I think we can both agree, Chris, that is a huge step forward for opening up
God's
the country
sakes.
Again. They've done really well. 10 days, Chris. They've reduced it from 12 or 14 to 10 days. It really is. They really are being great with everyone, aren't they?
Oh, God. That's rubbish. I mean, that's, it sucks. It really... I hope they sort it out. Because right now, I get 500 people a day ask me, when is Japan going to reopen? When can I come back to Japan? When can I book my holiday? And I don't know. And nobody knows, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like most of the countries are sort of getting back to normal now. Like I think I spoke to Connor the other day, who went back to the UK. That's where you are. You were a mere 150 miles from Connor at one point. You could have reached out. You could have touched him. But he said the UK was kind of normal, right? People weren't wearing face masks anymore and whatnot. Whereas here... I think face masks are here to stay for about 2 years. I read that we're sort of expected here to wear masks out and about everyday life for 2 years.
Well, I noticed when you guys were walking around Sendai, when you walk through like a small street, you would put your masks on. But when you were out in the open, like a park, you had your masks off.
I mean, if it's a relatively spacious area, then you're okay. But it's awkward because most people here do keep their masks on when they're out and about. I was in the middle of Yoyogi Park about a week ago, and you know, there's people there with masks on still, and it's just like, oh, come on. Like, wear them indoors, wear them on trains, public transport, sure, no problem. But out and about in a park, I think you can take it off. Because I get masks. I know they're important, and they've done a lot of good. But they're also quite dehumanizing, and I hate them. But of course, because like before COVID, before last year, I'd never worn a mask in Japan ever. I'd never worn one. And so I've had to really adapt to it. In the winter, it's not as bad because it's cold and it's nice to keep your face warm. But in summer, when it reaches like 38 degrees Celsius and you've got to put a bit of fabric over your face, it's like the most unpleasant thing. And and when I wear glasses when I'm out and about, and they just get steamed up and it's a nightmare. Yeah. So, it sucks.
Well, the information is, so Japan's health ministry has agreed to loosen entry restrictions for visitors to the country who can provide evidence of being fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. Travelers will have to show proof of getting the Pfizer, Moderna or AstraZeneca vaccines. They're the only ones currently accepted in Japan. So if you had China's Sinopharm and Johnson & Johnson in the US, which is obviously a big one for them, you're out of luck, unfortunately.
No luck.
So eligible travelers will no longer have to endure a 14-day quarantine. They can do 10. And at the end of the 10-day period, you must take a PCR test. If that test comes back negative, you can move about freely. So it sounds like you can get there, but you 10 days. It's that 10 days. And that's expensive.
I don't think it's open to tourist visas still, though, right? So come over.
Is it?
You know,
I see. Okay.
You know, otherwise you could. We could, like, you come over, I could, like, you could sit in my studio for 10 days and eat, drink your one cup sake for
drink
a week
one cup
and
sake,
then be
yeah,
unleashed.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah.
But okay. I think tourist visas are still a no-go. I could be wrong, right. but I need to look into that. But that's not ideal, right? If you're coming as a tourist, to have to sit in a room for 10 days.
So I think it's visitors from Australia, Brunei, China, New Zealand, South Korea, Singapore, Taiwan, Thailand, and Vietnam. Not me then.
But from, I know Connor was in quarantine because he came back from the UK. I think he was in quarantine for 3 days at a hotel, and then he could do the rest, the sort of the last 10 days at his house.
Right,
which
okay, I
think he enjoyed because he did some sort of marathon of Twitch. But
it's
not ideal.
No.
But again, guys, you'll be the first to know when there is a change. I will fucking dance through the streets. I'll make videos. I'll make a song. I'll make a sequel to Too Much Volcano discussing and singing about how happy I am that Japan is open again. But the country has no qualms about being shut off to the world. And that's unfortunate, I think. But I never know. I think next year we can put this whole coronavirus stuff behind us because it's driving me mad, as it is, I'm sure, for many of you.
Indeed.
And you,
Pete. We can only hope. We can only hope.
Mm. We're back in a moment with the fax machine, your questions and stories.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Shane Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week, we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking belly bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is History Done Differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Fucking Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production
and part of the Acast Creator Network.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Donaldson.
I got a message from Rob. Hello, gentlemen, and Chris. I was listening to the podcast when I heard Pete mention that he booked a holiday at Tenerife. Well, actually, I live there right now. And funnily enough, there's been actually quite a volcanic eruption on one of our neighbouring islands of La Palma. That got me thinking, though, has there ever been an eruption in Japan whilst you've been there? And have you seen, if so? If not, are there any active volcanoes that are likely to erupt sometime soon? All the best. I look forward to the next episode. Rob. Have you ever had any kind of eruptions?
Well, when Joey and I flew over Sakurajima Volcano and Journey Across Japan 3, like a week later, it did erupt. And it's pretty fiery, explosive mess. Now, if our plane had been going over at that point in time, we probably would have been blown out the sky. And the last video I would have had have been me just screaming in the back of a Cessna going, fuck, why don't we do this? There was also a really big eruption a few years ago on Mount Ontake. I think it was 2014, maybe 2014 or 15. It was 2014, sorry. Mount Ontake in the Japan Alps. It erupted.
Yes.
And unfortunately, quite a few people died because a lot of people were climbing up it. And there's some really harrowing and unpleasant images of like people sprinting down the mountainside while this plume of smoke, this like pyroclastic flow, is coming down after them. It's really... It looks pretty horrifying. So, yeah, I mean, you can go up a lot of these volcanoes and hike and climb, and you have to be bloody careful, though. You do it at your own risk because they can erupt at any moment. And every year I've been here, it's been said that Mount Fuji is overdue eruption. Mount Fuji is due to erupt. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a day when that erupts.
Yeah. You might be able to finally see the bloody thing. Erupt.
I must admit,
Chris, I'm very impressed by the words pyroclastic. I've never even heard that word in my life, so well done you for remembering that one.
big words when you get Twitter verified, Pete, when you get Twitter verified, all the words. Dear Chris and Pete, one of the top things I want to do is the Mount Fuji hike. saying the last story, the Mount Fuji hike that Chris filmed himself doing. I've heard that this is only possible in July and August because it's way too cold at the summit otherwise. Do I absolutely have to be there during that time, or is there a way up during the autumn months? Thank you guys for the content. Chris from Ohio. Yes, you have to do it in either July, August, or I think September. There's a window as well. It does get very cold up there. I mean, even when I climbed in August, it got to like 2 or 3 degrees, I think, when I got up there. Extremely cold. My friend George almost got frostbite. To be fair, he was wearing a t-shirt and shorts, so he had it coming, and I did warn him. But
not ideal.
You can't really go up there in autumn. I think they close it off. I think it's illegal. I'm not entirely sure. We did have that story last year, the tragic story of a man who did climb up Mount Fuji in October or November, and he was climbing a snowy ridge, doing a live stream like you do, and he live streamed his own death because he slid and he rolled down the ridge, and they found him a few days later. But it's not ideal. It's very dangerous. Don't go up there, Chris. Do it.
in July or August, for the love of God.
Yes. Be safe, Chris.
Be safe. That's the motto of the Abroad Japan podcast. Mm. That's what we stand for. And one cup sake.
Yes, indeed. Hello to Raj from Washington, D.C. Ahoy, hoy. Hi, all, he says. With Halloween around the corner, I was wondering if either of you have had or know someone who has had any creepy experiences in Japan. Thanks so much for the podcast and all that you do. Creepy experiences. Chris, you've had so many. You're in a cave with a house centipede. Really big stuff going on.
That's hardly like a haunted Halloween experience, though, is it?
Quite haunted. Centipede. You seem quite haunted.
It's horrible.
You
that
seem
thing.
Very worried.
I haven't really. I think the scariest thing was either it's always been on with bloody Joey, that abandoned tunnel on Journey Across Japan, or the abandoned Love Hotel. Which I later discovered, which was the first episode of Journey Across Japan 2, I later discovered, I think somebody had died there, and it was supposed to be cursed, that abandoned Love Hotel. And if I'd known that before going in, I might have been a little bit more reluctant. Yeah. I don't know if I'd been so keen to go in. So I might be going to an abandoned hotel in a few weeks with Connor and Natsuki, though. So they're finally going to meet, a meeting of minds. But we're going to probably go to an abandoned hotel, and that'll be like a Halloween edition of Wacky Weekend, which is a series I do with Connor. In an abandoned hotel. So got that to look forward to. And hopefully there'll be no spooky goings on there, apart from Natsuki smoking in a corner. hopefully not. You've never... Well, what about you, Pete?
I mean, I've only been to like theme restaurants that it's very much designed to spook you out. I think that abandoned marriage venue, I think that wedding venue that we went to, that's quite spooky just simply because what had happened there. Nobody had died, but it was a wonderful thing. It saved a lot of people. And I find anything abandoned is a bit spooky and a bit, oh, God. And that's what's exciting, I suppose.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I don't know. I'm going to go and search. I get a lot of people wanting to ask us to sort of go and explore these places. So I'm going to try and seek out some more scary, creepy places. If you guys have any suggestions, let us know at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Keep your stories, questions, comments coming in, guys. We'll be back in the next few days to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll see you to do it all over again right here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Have a good one. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I'm
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.